Welcome back. Joining me for a look at the day's market moves is Willem Oldewager from Nitrogen Fund Managers and Martin Smith from Anchor Capital. James, thanks so much for your time today. So markets really at the whim of news flow around COVID-19 at the moment, whether we're fearing it, whether those fears are easing off, really directing where markets go at the moment. So Martin, what did you make of today's activity and the activity we've seen since last week, Friday, when everyone was in a tiz about Omicron?
I suppose it's quite strange. Usually we're taking our cues from global markets, but global markets are taking the cues from what's happening in South Africa. And I think we've seen this absolute seesaw between everything's okay and, oh no, it's 2020 March again. So I think as kind of news flow around the actual facts of this new variant come kind of to the fore, I think we can continue to see a little bit of this volatility. I don't know if you saw, there's some very interesting comments out of the CEO of Netcare today saying that it's relatively kind of starting to move towards a flu-like type of situation, which I thought was quite interesting. But again, who knows? I'm not a doctor. But until kind of have all the facts, I think this volatility is going to continue.
Willem, how are you reading the signs? Because as Martin highlights there, you know, we're getting all these conflicting, everyone saying, oh, it's maybe not as bad, but it's too soon to really tell. So how are you reading the response market is having to all of this?
I think the market is very fearful, and it's right to be that way. The Omicron variant now in South Africa is actually becoming sort of comparable to the Delta and Beta variants before that in terms of the daily cases. And then the market has like many more reasons to be wary. I mean, today we got the US jobs figures, and they were like the biggest miss I've seen since I've started working in the markets. So I think the market was looking for an excuse to sell off, and we're getting many of them now. So I think you'd be very brave to buy any stocks right now.
Very brave. We'll have to see what your stocks picks are later on in the show. But Martin, Willem highlighting there those jobs numbers that came out, they did disappoint quite significantly. Enough to raise questions for you on the direction the Fed could take?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I think the kind of initial reaction, and its point is very well made. I mean, it's a massive miss that came out of those numbers. We're all looking kind of to see what the market would do. And its initial reaction is relatively positive. I think it's that old adage of bad news is good news, insofar as people think you'll kind of have cheap money for longer. And I think that's what the market is hoping for. But I think, there are so many things at play at the moment, from inflation being transitory or not so much, kind of comments out of the Fed, to tapering, to this new variant, to what's happening kind of out of Chinese companies with the VIE structures, and Didi's news this morning or kind of yesterday around them delisting. There is just so much going on at this moment in time. I'm very much in kind of Willem's boat here, or very Willem's camp, and just saying I'm very happy to kind of sit on the sidelines for now.
Sitting on the sidelines, I'm very glad none of us are central bankers, that's for sure, because we have to speculate how the Fed is going to deal with all of that. And in that context, we've also had ECB President Christine Lagarde saying that an interest rate hike next year is unlikely. She's also saying we can't compare, the EU to the US. But that meeting coming up on the 16th, the ECB meeting, and from that side of the world, Willem, what are you expecting there?
I think sort of getting towards the end of the year, they probably won't do anything. It's just sort of the December effect. And then obviously they've been saying they won't like really raise rates over the next year, which we're just starting to make more sense, because even though there's inflation, which should be their primary policy, price stability, I think they do take the COVID situation very seriously. And just the general market commentary seems to be pushing out in terms of monetary tightening.
Well, let's leave all the macro aside. Very, like we say, so many conflicting messages that we're getting. We're trying to figure out who's going to do what. Let's get to some company news here at home, because that at least may be a little bit more certain. We did have Absa out with a trading update today saying that profits could double for the full year. The markets initially, when that news came out, really liking it, pushing the shares up almost 5%. Having a look at that trading update, Martin, are you with the market on this? Do you see value in Absa?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very positive update. So I think it follows from the update that we got out of First Rand Standard Bank earlier this week. And I've said many times on the show, I think the banks have incredibly well positioned themselves kind of going into the, or kind of coming out of the pandemic that we've seen. And they're very well positioned. Absa is a part of that camp. So positive set of numbers, looking cheap, but I think it's one that always kind of looks cheap, I think, optically. I'd still prefer FirstRand. I think it's kind of gold standard from an ROE perspective. But again, let's not discount these numbers from APSA. Positive set of numbers. Their outlook looks good from a kind of ROE perspective, cost perspective. And they're also very interest rate sensitive, maybe more so than someone like a FirstRand. So in a kind of cycle that we're going into now, I think they'll benefit quite nicely. So yeah, I think I like SA Banks. Maybe not as much kind of APSA as FirstRand, but still positive, and I think you can still make money out of the stock.
Willem, would APSA be your pick out of the South African banks, given what they put to market today?
Yeah, I think I agree completely. From what you just said, it's a decent set of numbers from a very low base. If you look at sort of the growth, it's mid-single-digit revenue growth, even though the sort of HEPS look like a double, it's from a very low base. So it's solid, and I think exactly what you would have expected, but yeah, also not my first pick in the South African bank sector.
Okay, so we're just going to keep APSA on the radar and see kind of how that all develops. And then we also had a bit of deal-making come through today. Old Mutual's private equity arm making a bid for Long for Life. They've put the price at R5.80 a share. Martin, are you seeing that as a fair deal?
Sure. I was on the show, give or take maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, and we spoke about Long for Life receiving what they called an unsolicited offer. And at the time I said, I think shareholders would wait for R6 plus on the stock. I mean, it's a very, very well-run kind of set of businesses. It's looking cheap. They've got cash on the balance sheet, probably to the equivalent of 30% of their market cap. So I think it's a great opportunity. I think R5.80 is a little light. I'd be very interested to see how this plays out, but my gut feel is I think people were hoping for R6 plus on the stock.
Willem, I see you nodding there. Are you in agreement on this one? They can maybe hold out for maybe a little bit more.
Yes, I've been following this as well. From the results when they sort of stated the unsolicited offer, if you just look at the market reaction on that day, market participants were paying R6 already 2-3 weeks ago, which means they were definitely expecting more than R6, obviously, because they would still want a profit. So I think also this morning, if you just look at how the share price has moved today, people were definitely expecting more, and there might be some arb traders in there who are sort of unhappy with the current deal. But having said that, I think the Old Mutual Private Equity Unit is probably quite, I mean, they sharpened their pencils, which means that they didn't come to the table with their best bid, and this wasn't a firm intention. So I just wait and see what the firm intention price is.
Okay, so we're going to have to see how that one pans out as well. Long for Life as a company itself, Martin, are you seeing value there? Because they seem to have hit a little bit of a lull. They try, you know, they're all about making deals. And yet they're just saying that they're really not finding anything in this current environment to put their money towards. So from a Long for Life perspective, deals aside, how are you valuing them at the moment?
I mean, if you look at the NAV, I think it's around R7.30 odds. It's kind of where the NAV is. I'm not saying it's worth its full NAV. But like I said, I think it's a good business. I mean, they've navigated COVID very, very well if you look at kind of pretty much in the eye of the storm from a retail perspective. And your point is very well made about them not finding deals. And that's well evidenced by the fact that they're sitting on such a massive cash pile. If they found opportunities, which I think they were hoping they would have done in a post COVID world, I'm pretty sure they would have bought some companies. But I think I still think that a deal will happen, maybe not the R5.80 mark. I think there is an intention for this thing to delist. We've seen a couple kind of comments and statements coming out of the company over the last few months around it. So I think there's value. I think you can make money. I think you can, if you buy now, it's what's the share price, kind of R5.30 odd. I think you can get that R6 and some change. But yeah, my anticipation is that a deal will probably go through the next 6 to 12 months. Whether it's this one or another one, I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, well, let's get to your stock picks. On that note, you did highlight that you want to sit on the sidelines. There's a lot going on. So, Willem, let's go to you first. A stock pick for today. Do you have one?
I only have one because I feel like I need to. So the market is very fully valued. So I think if you're going to be buying stocks now, you have to really look deep for deep, cheap value. So with that in mind, if you look at sort of the Naspers process, 10 cents stable, Naspers is by far the cheapest. And it's still, I think by our estimation, maybe 58 to 60% discount, which means if 10 cent can halve, and there's some value left. So that's the sort of stocks I'd look at, and that's why I'm picking Naspers tonight.
Okay, so Willem going with Naspers. Martin, are you dipping your toes in the water at all? Anything out there you'd be keen to pick up at the moment?
I feel like my answer is a little bit of a cheat, so I'm going to say cash. I wrote cash down in my notes. I think we've highlighted the fact that it's feeling a little dangerous out there. So I'm happy to sit on the sidelines. I think Willem's stock pick is a great one if I had to pick one, but I'm going for cash.
Okay, so sitting on your hands to wait and see how everything plays out. Let's leave it there, gents. Thanks so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Willem Oldewager from Nitrogen Fund Managers and Martin Smith from Anchor Capital.